Welcome to the Views Podcast with your hosts, Nate Farmer Eden and Cole Farrell. Get ready to move even closer to financial freedom as they reveal the real estate investing strategies you need to acquire assets you can cash flow or flip. Now, let's get into today's show.
Cole, how we doing, brother?
Yo, Nate, what's going on? How we doing?
Oh man, we're here. We are surviving.
We're here. Yeah, we're fired up because, well, hold on. First, if we curse on this show, does it get bleeped out or does it just go?
Well, shit, fuck if I know. I can find out. I don't know. Well,
listen, we are fired up because we just closed and we are excited. So, you know, there's some good stuff. There's a main water line break. Ten is trying to fight us in the parking lot, or one of us who is not here. You know, never ending, but living the life.
I mean, I think the best part was when we got the call from the PM letting us know that they thought it was us that kicked in their own door, and we've owned it for 8 days. Like, what?
Insane.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
But, look, I'm super excited for this interview. It's going to be a good one. Before we jump in, though, housekeeping items, as always. So, first, please leave us a rating and review so we can help grow and educate others. Second, subscribe. If you haven't, you're crazy. Don't want to miss another episode. And third, as always, buckle up, wear your seatbelt, because we're going to go on an awesome ride. So,
oh, dude, it's going to be so crazy. But today, we are here with the one and only Sita. Sita, come on in, brother. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on, Nate? What's going on, Cole? Happy to be here.
Oh, it is an honor, pleasure, and a privilege to have you, man. So thank you so much for sliding through Views for us.
Yes, sir.
So, quick question for you, man. Give us a little bit of background on yourself, man. What got you here? What brought you here? Why real estate?
Yeah, man. So, I feel like my story is a little different from most folks that get into real estate. I'm from Atlanta, born and raised. I grew up here. I went to school here. I work here. And I do real estate here. So, been in the same city pretty much my whole life. But my story is different because my family's from Sierra Leone and West Africa. And that's really why I got into real estate was first time I remember going back there was just seeing that there was opportunity developing, you know, develop projects in real estate and infrastructure and wanted to be able to take advantage of it. So that's really what got me into it. So it's not like I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad and was like, let me leave my job, which I mean, the cash flow is good, but that's not why I got into it.
Oh, I love that. I love it.
Awesome. Awesome. So give us more details. What do you invest in? What kind of properties? Why do you invest in them? What are you looking for? Fill us in.
Yeah, so most of my background has been in multifamily. So first thing about me is like I'm a big risk taker. So like even though I started off in engineering, like in corporate, I was like, I don't want to do real estate. And I didn't really want to be in no corporate role for real. So like I started with, you know, a couple units, just like a duplex, renovated, house hacked it. And then like immediately went into like large apartment complexes. And I did that by learning like the whole analysis, you know, being an engineer, I was able to run the numbers, good at analysis and all that. So was able to learn that part of the business, then went from 2 units to over 100 units on my next project. And now I do multifamily.
Holy cow. Holy cow. 2 units to over 100 units on this next project. I'm seeing a lot of similarities. Honestly, I don't know if you have not yet caught some of the previous episodes. I talked a little bit about my background, and I started with a duplex myself, FHA. Nice. That was what really got me into it and sort of propelled my personal portfolio and then just jumped into the syndication side. So awesome. But I'm interested to know what kind of challenges you faced. I know you say you're big into taking risks, so not knowing much about it, then just diving in. I understand that you know about, you know, data analysis spreadsheets, but once you jump in, shit, real estate's a whole nother ball game, bro. Fill me in, tell me some of them horror stories.
Man, so like, where you want me to start? You want me to start with like the duplex or like on the largest stuff? Like, I got
early. I want to hear early
from the beginning. All right, yeah. So really, before I even got into that, my first endeavor in the real estate was in wholesaling. And you know, like they always gonna sell you a dream when it comes to wholesaling. Oh, you can flip properties and make 50K in 1 month without no money down. Like, they sell you that story, and me being broke and wanting to do real estate, that's like what I got into. So I started doing that. And like, I mean, I was hustling for a minute, outside of like my engineering job, trying to do wholesaling. And like, I ain't really like it. I ain't had no love for it. So like, I failed miserably. Like, I went several months, I spent money, wrote like my own letters and all of that, and failed miserably in the wholesale space before getting into multifamily. Like with the duplex and all that. And I got even more stories for that if you want me to keep going.
The floor is yours, brother. You keep going, bro.
All right, Jermaine. I get long-winded, so I ain't want to just keep talking the whole time. So
no, love it.
The duplex. So mistake number one, I hired the wrong contractor. So what was supposed to be like a maybe 2 to 3 month renovation turned into like an 8-9 month renovation. And, you know, closing costs, holding costs to hold the property that long, you know, paying the mortgage, paying utility bills. That in itself just now spent way more than I planned. And then two, another big thing, like, I didn't really understand how real estate was valued, because technically a duplex is a house with a guest house. And, you know, ADUs don't really get valued the same way as the rest of the property. So I put most of my renovation and improvement into the ADU, and ain't getting none of it back when it came to like the appraisal on the back end. So like, all that money went in and I didn't really get to see it in terms of property value. But even with all that, it still ended up being a good deal. And like, it actually was one of the big things that helped me get into larger deals and going into multifamily full time.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And I'm sure a lot of that is people can relate. I mean, just the tribulations of starting and making all the wrong choices. And it's tough though. Like, I feel like I went through every single aspect of real estate before I found what I liked. I did property management. I bought singles. I bought duplexes. I did wholesale. I did flipping, like, you name it. I think I went through it and I hated a lot of them. And you try them, you hate them, you fail, whatever it may be, and you keep moving. But it's awesome to hear that. I want to hear some more details. 2 to 100 is a ridiculous feat. That's amazing. So What did that journey look like? How did you find it? Just give me some more insight on like that jump. And that's a lot of mind stuff too, to be able to conquer that mindset of two to, you know, probably multi million. So.
Yeah. The one thing, it was really two things that helped me kind of shift my mindset. One is like, I always wanted to do commercial real estate. So that's kind of where I was, you know, that was what my North Star was. I wanted to get into it. And there's actually three things. The second thing, I went through a program called Project Destin that it was really targeted towards college and high school students. But I was like, you know, a year out of college, and it pretty much teaches you, it's for like minorities to learn how to develop commercial real estate and get into commercial real estate. So going through that that program really just kind of helped open my eyes to what was possible. And it's still like one of my mentors to this day I met through that program. And then the third thing was read the book People's Principles by R. Donahue Peoples. So A lot of people know Don Peoples, the great, you know, developer, most successful Black developer, at least financially in the U.S. Reading his book and how he closed on his first commercial property at age 26, that was like, I can do that. Actually, was like, I can beat that. And I did it. I closed my first commercial property at 26. So I didn't beat him. And it wasn't nearly as lucrative as his was, but still, you know, trying to keep up with that. Then as far as like getting into it, it's really all about teamwork and partnership. I tell people all the time, you're trying to get into this business, don't try and do everything. Don't try and be, you know, superhero that's going to do every single part of business. Focus on what your superpower is, what your skill is. Get very good at that because you got some focus, and then partner with other people that got the complementary skills. So like, that's what I did with underwriting. I didn't have to learn capital raising or asset management. I just learned the numbers and being able to do that efficiently. And I got very good at it very quickly. And that's really what helped me to be able to contribute to people who are way more experienced than me, because I had that one skill. And just dedicated my time for like almost 2 years before we closed on the deal. But at that point, I was able to get equity in the $17 million apartment complex. And from then on, it's like, now you got the track record and credibility and all that.
That's amazing.
Holy shit. Dude, you said you didn't beat it. In my mind, you've far surpassed. you read the book, you're like, I'm going to take this knowledge, I'm going to risk it all for the biscuit, and we're going to make it happen. And you fucking close. Dude, hats off to you, man. Congratulations. Man. At 26. I'm turning 36 in July, and I just closed my first commercial deal.
No, you don't look it.
I don't look. I'll take that. But look, I'm just saying, brother. Hey, I'm looking.
But no, congrats. Yeah, clap that up. You know, first commercial deal, man. That's big.
Hey, I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. I mean, you touched on so many amazing points and so many nuggets, and I want to dig deeper into a lot of it, but I'm going to start here. One of the last things that you're saying is you found a team and you were able to just sort of hone in on your superpower. How did you find that team? How were you able to build that team? How did you able to be able to say, okay, I'm going to take what I've got and I can leverage off of what you guys have because I know I trust you. Tell me a little bit about that process.
Yeah. So a big thing about this is the timing. So I really started like my multifamily business when right after the pandemic hit. So it was really while I was starting that duplex project, I was still doing the renovation, which I bought that property right when the pandemic hit and the market was going crazy. While I was doing that, I was learning how to underwrite. So I was taking online classes, real cheap classes. Like I never paid for any type of like mentorship or anything or coaching. I just kind of learned by doing the online stuff. So once I kind of got comfortable, you know, we're in a pandemic, everything was virtual. So all the networking was virtual. So that was important because I wasn't really into it to the point where I would have been spending $400 or $500 on conferences or traveling to conferences. But because everything was virtual, there was a lot more free networking and there was a lot of conferences that were virtual where they're charging $90 instead of $500 and you don't got to travel nowhere. So I was able to network very quickly with people nationally that were getting deals done. And I think also they may not have known that like how young I was at the time because everything was virtual. So I everything is confidence. If you take yourself serious, people are gonna take you serious. So I was able to connect with folks like twice my age that were already doing deals and I understood the terminology. And they saw, you know, pretty early on after we was able to meet that I had value and I had a skill set that they could utilize. And from there, it was just a matter of making yourself available.
That's awesome. And there's so many awesome pieces to pick out there. I think a huge thing that you did over and over and over again is you took action, right? Like you started with the duplex and you did it. Then you knew you wanted to go bigger. So you started practicing and learning and you took these courses and then you networked and you did the things that you need to do to advance. And I think that's amazing. And then, like you said, you intentionally looked for the people that you wanted to partner with and the people that you wanted to find, and it worked out. And that's just so incredible. I'm so curious. So on that deal, how do you prefer to finance things? Do you like to syndicate? Do you like to JV? Do you do it a different route? What's that look like?
Yeah, so we typically do, it may be a combination of things. So like our last deal, we syndicated. So one, we were able to assume a loan with a 1% interest rate. And one of the benefits of 1%, one of the benefits of affordable housing. You can get some access to cheap money, which is also one of the downsides to affordable housing. You need access to cheap money in order to make it work.
And that's money.
Struggle. Yeah, it's almost free money. But so like the last day we syndicated, we were able to assume a loan, and then we got that one. We got a bridge debt because we're doing a tax credit takeout. So it's like a LIHTC property. We'll re-syndicate, get more tax credits, which will buy out the original loan. As far as like how we prefer to do deals, like everything since we moved into affordable housing, and I'm not sure if you have you guys interviewed Jason yet, my business partner.
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, me and him work together. Of course, we focus on affordable housing. With that, like your capital stack becomes so much more complex because you can't just rely on the revenue of the property. A lot of the times you got to rely on subsidies or other sources of cheap capital. So like a lot of deals is like, you got to actually structure the deal to make it work. So we may be looking at, you know, housing vouchers, and then we got to get like working on a deal that has some bond financing. We may get like a subsidies from like an Invest Atlanta or Atlanta Housing, or working with the county or the city. So it's like we got to layer those into our capital stack on top of, you know, senior debt and then equity in order to make things work. And well, we'll bring in co-GPs too to bring in to help with the equity raise as well.
What? My mind is blown. Time out. Rewind. Pause the whole freaking thing. Hold on. Wait a minute. So I got to backtrack. We'll go into it. Full thought. Sorry. Words are hard today. COVID is where I'm going to start. I was like, you know what? No one's going anywhere. No one's traveling. I'm going to spend no more than $90, and I'm just going to take some classes and network, and I'm going to learn this. Learned all the terminology, understood about the capital stack, stacking, you know, mezzanine debt on top of whatever, 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 and then bringing in more, live tech property, and you did all that. You learned all this shit by yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I learned part of it from Jason and other people too. Like, I learned, I like to network and I like to have conversations and learn from people. But yeah, mostly like, you know, self-taught, online resources and conversations, man. You learn a lot from just talking to people that you couldn't learn in a book. And I've gotten very good at that.
Dude, again, hats off to you, man. I'm learning a ton right now. I have not yet, in all honesty, dove heavy into like LIHTC properties. I currently work for a property that uses some subsidies, and but I have not looked at it from like an owner perspective. So the fact that you're able to compile all the different pieces together to make it into a run full circle, dude, amazing, man. Amazing. Hats off to you. So yeah. Another question with that. When thinking about properties, I know you grew up in GA. Are you only looking at that market? Do you branch out? Because, I mean, what you were saying with COVID, you were nationally networking. So are you sticking to that market? Or tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So my first deal is actually in Virginia Beach. To this day, I've never seen it. I've never been to Virginia Beach. I ain't one day been there. But, yeah, I've had some partners and yeah, one was in Virginia Beach, so I closed that. As far as what we look at now, most of what we look at, say, is going to be in the Atlanta area. That's where we're based. That's where most of our connections are. And then Atlanta is just also a great market. I'm very bullish on Atlanta for the long term. But we'll look at deals throughout Georgia and South Carolina and Tennessee as well.
That's awesome. So, all right, I want to dial back to the beginning of the interview, right? You talked about being a risk taker. And then there's also pieces with like LIHTC and all that kind of fun jazz. So how do you mix all that together and how do you manage your risk? Because I feel like some of these are very not risky with some of the housing, but then there's other parts of it that are extremely. So how do you kind of balance all that? And then how do you balance that between statewide, East Coast side, all that kind of fun stuff?
Yeah, as far as like risk mitigation, the biggest thing is you want to eliminate surprises or at least be ready for them. One way to do that is just having the right people around you. Something may be new to you, but it's not going to be new to everybody. So just finding the person who is not new to and making sure that you have their ear or a partnership in the opportunity is how you mitigate a lot of that. Like I don't consider myself like a know-it-all, or I do consider myself a genius. I think I'm pretty bright, but I know that I don't know everything. It's a lot of people that know a lot of things better than I am, better than I know. So when it comes to like making decisions on a deal, whether it's like a deal acquiring or even when we're operating a deal, I like to make sure I get another set of eyes on it from somebody else who knows better than I do. So like my background mostly is in acquisition. So like running numbers, due diligence, making sure that the asset we buy should perform the way that we expect it to. And I don't want to make any of those decisions solely on my own. So every single input or assumption that we make when we're looking at a property is going to be verified by a third party. We'll have a property manager who's going to look at every single expense projection that we have, make sure that our market rents are achievable. We're going to make sure we get good debt quotes. We got a tax consultant for our tax estimates. Everything going in, we want to have verified. And then once we close on the opportunity, we want to make sure that the team that we have, whatever property management we have in place. We want to make sure we got strong people around us, and that's really is going to be what drives us towards success.
So good. So good. And I think that's that's one of the key elements to, you know, your numbers, you know, your projections, you know what you want it to be at, but you're like, you know what, let's go ahead and double check, triple check, and then recheck. Yeah. And then let me have you go ahead and put your eyes on it as the PM. So I'm guessing rather be the JV, rather be a syndication style, you guys hiring a third-party property management company. And because you're scaling so quickly, do you guys stick with the same property management? Of course, Virginia Beach, that's going to be completely different. But yeah. Are you guys sticking with like the same kind of property management company and you just grow and scale together? Or how does that look?
Yeah, so we have one we've been working with consistently on, you know, the deal that we own and the deals we look to acquire. But we are, you know, open, and we have had conversations, you know, just to have options in case there's a need to switch. Because what you don't want is to be in a situation where you need somebody else to take over a property and you don't have any good relationships or anybody that you can trust to do it. And property management is going to be one of the biggest drivers for success in your property, because that's who's, you know, doing the day-to-day management, and they can make your job easy or they can make your job hell. So having the right person in that role is very important. Yeah.
So good. So good. Nate, you think it's time?
I know he came on here saying he doesn't want any curveballs. He read over the script, but I think we got to give him a surprise.
All right. I think so. Cue it up. All right. Before we start it, Sito, we're going to ask you a few questions. And you can answer them quickly,
okay,
lengthy, whatever you want. Hit it. What separates what separates top performing real estate investors from the rest of the crowd?
I would say people who want to continuously improve. You know, it's all about making sure that you yourself are improving as a leader, as an investor. Like, people who stay on top of the market and understand like the different trends and can get ahead of them, that's what's really going to make you awesome. And then developing yourself personally so you become a better leader and, you know, just become more effective overall. A lot of people get lazy in this business because they got into it for the cash flow. So once they start getting a little bit, you know, they start to chill and take their foot off the gas, and then they fall behind.
What's a daily habit that contributed to your success?
Is it just one, or can I get multiple?
Floor is yours, brother.
You ever heard of the Miracle Morning? Like how Elrod is like, yes, personal development. Yeah. So like I incorporated that. So like I journal every day, meditate. I don't exercise every day, but I try to get like 4 workouts in a week. I ain't been reading as much every day, but I try to do that as much as I can. But I'll say, and then affirmations. So like doing all of that is, I try to get that done on a daily basis, my morning routine. And it helps, for real, for real.
And that's so good. Just to echo that, I went to a conference and Hal Elrod was speaking at it, and he told his story and went through it and explained the Miracle Morning thing. And I started doing it, and it changed my life. It absolutely propelled my business and myself and skyrocketed things. So I'm with you. I do it kind of my own way, but same kind of core concept, and it's incredible. Yeah. So love to hear that.
Nice.
What is a piece of advice that you would give to your younger self starting out?
I would say, don't doubt yourself as much. Like, I always been confident, but I think I could have did things, like I could have been a little more aggressive on stuff, but certain things I was just like second guessing and not believing in what I could accomplish. So kind of speaking power to myself from those younger days, I would really appreciate that. I think it could have changed things. I changed my trajectory.
Love it. What's your favorite real estate or business book?
Favorite real estate book is going to be that Don People's Principle. And bonus one, favorite business book is E-Myth. It just really helps you think about how you take yourself out of the business and make it run more efficiently even without you.
What was that first one that you said? What was that called?
People's Principles.
People's Principles. All right, perfect. All right, last question for you. What is the biggest non-monetary benefit that you've gotten from real estate investing?
The biggest is flexibility. And like I say flexibility, a lot of people look at real estate as freedom. I mean, they kind of go hand in hand, but you know, I still be working. I work like hell. I can't say that I'm just free to go be on the beach for like the next, you know, 2 weeks I want to. But I have flexibility to move how I want, go where I want, and do business the way I want. So like everything I do between business and life is like synergy. So like a lot of my trips are business trips, even though like I would have took them without the business. But that's just the way that I move, is the business and my life are one and the same, and that I really appreciate that.
Awesome.
Love it. How bad was it? You made it to the end.
Yeah, we did it. We did it.
Yeah. I love how every person that goes through this is like, why did you hype that up? That was absolutely nothing. And like, what was that even about? Every person is great.
That was so easy. I was nervous for nothing. Sita, brother, this has been an amazing interview, man. I want to thank you, bottom of our hearts, for coming on out, hopping on the stage, getting in the hot seat, going through a crazy Jeopardy theme music, answering all the questions, man. I learned a lot from you. I would love to be able to continue to watch your journey. I want to make sure that we stay in connection, stay in communication. And you know, you've always got a seat at our table, brother.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. I appreciate you guys having me on. This was a lot of fun. I had a good time and can't wait for the footage to come back.
Love it. Last question for you. Where can people find you if they want to reach out, ask you questions, bother you, whatever it may be?
Yeah, I'm pretty active on both LinkedIn and Instagram. It's Sita Dumbuya from both. Sita Dumbuya on LinkedIn, just my name. And then on Instagram, Sita _Dumbuya.
Awesome. We'll make sure to link to all that stuff in the show notes for everybody. Sita, it's been amazing. As Nate said, thank you so much for taking your time, spending it with us, and exploring your journey. So until next time.
Can I interject with one thing, Cole, if you don't mind?
Oh, please, please.
So he hit us a little bit ago when we were doing the speed round with a bonus. I want to throw him a bonus real quick.
Okay.
Here's my bonus for you. For those that might not know which direction to go for real estate, might be stuck on the porch, might not know where to turn to, what advice would you give somebody who would be trying to get started but don't know where to go?
I would say, honestly, I think the best way to get started in real estate, almost in, if you had a flexibility, almost any direction you want to go, I think house hacking is one of the best ways you can get started in real estate. So like, I would say, look into that. Like if you got to pay rent somewhere, going and getting, you know, a mortgage and having your tenants pay part of all of it. Like even if you mess up, now the worst case is you just paying for your own living expense. And the chances of that are like, is very slim. But you learn so much in that first one. You'll make a lot of mistakes. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. Don't let mistakes cripple you. Mistakes are just a part of the lesson. Like, you know, it's going to happen. Like, it's a good thing. You make mistakes, you figure it out, and then you get better for it. Like, you'd be surprised from year one to year four, things that you would have went crazy over year one happened to your property. But like year two, they don't even faze you no more because you already know how you're going to move. So just don't be afraid to get started. Don't be afraid to make mistakes, and you will figure it out as long as you stick with it.
Couldn't have said it better myself. With that being said, for those of y'all that are driving, get home safe. For y'all on the YouTube side of things, appreciate y'all tuning in to Views yet again. Everybody have a wonderful night. See y'all in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to Views. If you enjoyed today's show, take a second to hit the like button. And if you haven't already, subscribe to our channel so you never miss an episode. Until next time, peace and love.